So we're discussing about Grihastha deity worship, worshiping a deity at the home. And what was Prabhupada's idea? And Prabhupada's idea was that the deity becomes a spiritual central focus for the family to purify the house and to make all the food sanctified and to sanctify and purify people's minds and hearts by taking darshan morning and evening of the deity and maybe remembering them through the day. And whenever one has a spare moment and they come before the deity and they pray from their heart, like little Radha, she doesn't know maybe Sanskrit, but she can pray, "Oh, Radhisham, you know, I'm such a young girl. I have no control over my life. I have no independence. But I can express my mind to you." Because anyone can come before God and speak their mind. You can't speak your mind. I've been in the Delhi temple. I see so many young people. I observe people very much. And I try to see them and understand, enter into their mind and heart. That's something I've been doing since I'm young. I have a very good ability to do that and understand what is going on in their mind and their heart. So I've seen many young people, and different age people, and I don't look at their dress or form, but I try to understand what is their motivation, what are they thinking, what is their intention, what is their prayer. And by the mercy of Super Soul and other arrangements, I get some idea. And what we see is that the idea is that people are coming, especially young people, unmarried, especially many women, young women come in the Delhi temple, and 17 to 30, and they stand long time alone in front of the deities. And I'm on the side and I just see them, I think. And they're praying and speaking their mind, sometimes crying, and sometimes just even speaking, like you see their lips are moving. So this is the idea that Krishna is in everyone's heart. See, Krishna is in her heart, and your heart, and your heart. God is there. And we may not see, it's hard to see God in our heart, because we're covered. So he comes out, "Oh, here I am, see, I'm smiling, I have beautiful eyes." Because God is beautiful and very attractive. So then it's okay, because he's there, but I feel like, well, it's just me. This is my chest and my arms, and there's somebody inside of me. Can't tell. I don't feel someone's dancing around inside of me. But when I look out there and say, "Oh, I'm here, sitting here, and there's someone there looking at me." And that same person looking at us outside is also standing in the heart looking at us and listening to our prayers, and just the same. The Archavigra, the Paramatma, the Archamurti, or it's all the Manasik Murti, or the Vaibha Prakash, or the Swayam Rupam. These are different forms and expansions of the one supreme personality of Godhead. But then we can see, and we sit, we can cry, "Oh," we can look around, "Oh, my mother's not here, she's shopping, my sister's sleeping, my father's at work, oh, this is little Radha." So she comes in, "Oh, Radhisham, you know, you're God, and you have more power than my father, and you have more power than my mother, you know my heart, why I have to go to school, it's a waste of time, it's all nonsense, stupid things they're telling. And all the people, kids around me, they eat chicken, meat, eggs, and egg sandwiches, and scrambled eggs, and I know it's all stinking food, and they don't have any good ideas. And I want to go to Vrindavan. But everyone's stuck over here with their jobs, and my sister's trying to get married, and I don't know what's going on." So she prays like that, and then she cries, and she feels some relief. Maybe nothing happens till she has to go to school. And Monday comes and she goes to school and more homework comes, and then Tuesday and more homework on Wednesday. And then she goes again on Saturday, and it's like this. So God is there. So it gives an anchor in one's life, gives a center. Because like an uncle or someone we can go to, a trusted friend. So there's no better facility than having a trusted friend, and he's very quiet friend. He doesn't tell secrets to other people. So you can reveal your secrets to God. And then he may answer in your heart your questions and then solve your problems also. So this is the point. But what we find in Gaudiya, we are Gaudiyas, and deities are there, but they're in the background. The main deity for us, I can say, the main deity for Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the holy name, Srinam, and the Guru and the Vaishnavas. They are our tangible deities that we see and perceive, and they're with us in all times and places. And this is what is told, Hari Guru Vaishnav Puja, Hari Guru Vaishnav Seva, Hari Guru Vaishnav Sringar, Hari Guru Vaishnav Artik, everything. This is the thing. And to have, you know, the Mangal Artik and the Noon Artik and the 4 o'clock Artik and putting the deities to rest, and I'm sorry, I can't meet the Guru, I have to go put my deities to rest. This is off the mark. This is not the thing. Hari, the deity of Hari is the holy name. The second deity is Guru. The third deity is Vaishnava. They're primary. The artiks are with them. The importance is to be with them. The importance is to serve them and please them. Thakurji in the temple, house temple, he's there. You offer breakfast to him, take prasad. Go to school. You come in the evening, you offer your dinner. You take. This is not an ISKCON Gaudiya Math temple. There are very special parameters and principles of a house deity for married people with children. I've seen in the community I was in of people that were raised, one family, Komodaki and Jai Gaur Sundar, some Gujarati disciples of Satsang Maharaj, Brahmins, very good devotees. They had two sons, or three, or maybe two, and they had their deities, and she was like too much into the deities. That was the wife's thing mostly. Let's say her habit or whatever, her seva from a long time. And then husband was working. So then the children, they were very minimal puja. Then both the sons got married. And then there was more puja and making outfits and so many things. So the minimal puja is there. But this is because ultimately, as I said, we worship the Krishna, the name, and the Guru, and the Vaishnavas for their mercy that we can come to do Ragmarg, Raghunuga Bhakti. And Raghunuga Bhakti is Manodharma. It's the internal development, the mental development, the mental and internal development of our Siddhadeha and our Siddhabhav and our actual, you know, gut level, heart level feelings of worshipping and loving Radha and Krishna, not as a murti, not as a deity, but as my eternal Ishtadev in a particular sthayi rati, a permanent mood of love. Am I to love Krishna as a gopa, as a coward boy? Or am I to love and serve Krishna as a mandri or a sakhi or a parent? What is my internal inclination or attraction? And that comes in meditation and chanting and progress and the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas. And this arrangement and Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Gaur Thakur, the deities in the house, they're in the background supporting. They're supporting, encouraging, and blessing. But they are not, the time spent with them is very less, especially when there's children, dependent children still in the house, like unmarried daughters in the case of Indian families, or unmarried sons for that matter. So that being said, that we should know what the priorities are, our maximum time should be spent with chanting and reading, like Krishna book, which was mentioned before. These primary books, there was five basic books that Prabhupada gave, which should be nicely understood. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, Krishna Book, and East Upanishad. That's six. These were the six foundational books of ISKCON, practically from day one. Day one means 1966. Prabhupada was giving classes on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And very soon he published teachings of Lord Chaitanya, summary of CC. And then he published Krishna Book in 69 and Nectar of Devotion. So these six books. Now, way later, 1975, 9 years later, Nectar of Instruction. Okay? 9 years later. So these six books were deeply studied, classes every day on all these books. We went through them start to finish, all chapters, not just the beginning chapters of Nectar of Devotion. Fraternal devotion, then parental devotion, like some gurus, oh, just study the first 22 chapters of Nectar Devotion and this and that. No, the book is a complete book. You go to college, you don't go just 2 years, you go four or whatever. Complete course. So these books, that's the beginning point, and then so many other books are required by my students to read, which should have a long list there. I'm sure you must be having Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamritam, and all my books, and Brihad Bhagavatamritam. There's many readings to do. So where is the time for making outfits and elaborate puja of deities? There is no time. Because now it's Sambandha Gyan. Because we can't worship the deity. Our first deity is Nam, Srinam Prabhu. We can't worship properly the deity without Sambandha Gyan. Because everything you're doing, if it's not sanctioned by Guru, this goes nowhere. It's only mental concoction. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kori Aikya. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kori Aikya. That Sri Guru Charane Rati Ese Utamagati. Sri Guru Charane Rati. If I have Rati, Rati means attachment, love, asakti. Bhav, Rati means Bhav. Sri Guru Charana Rati. I should have love, attachment for the Guru's feet. His feet are his shiksha. Not just, you know, hold on to his feet. That's also nice, I guess. But then Sri Guru Charani Rati, Ese Uttama Gati. That Rati gives Gati. Gati means Param Gati. Param, the transcendental topmost Gati, means destination, goal, place, objective. Dham, Braja Dham. So, oh, nice, we make so many outfits. Change the outfit once, twice a month in Ekadasi, once a month. There's a standard. There should be a very minimal, you understand the point, that deity worship is a very minimal standard. So Guru is a guy. Okay, I gave Krishna's alone, then Radharani's there. I invited Radharani to accompany Krishna, so he's happier. Looks happier too, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Bhagavan Kushi, Apu Kushi. So that's enough. Radharani's there. And he was already wearing clothes before. They painted on his thing, you know. And maybe Radharani's clothes, I don't know, maybe painted, I don't know, whatever. So then they change. You can do so much, but is it sanctioned by Guru? Oh, we can make so many outfits. We can, oh, but Maharaj, we can do. But I'm saying don't do. Now what? I say, have you read all these books? Can I give you a test on these books and see how you perform? Well, no. I'm sure you can make an outfit. You're both talented attractive women with a brain for design or whatnot, especially, you know, and you're not too slow either. You put your heads together, you can make very beautiful outfits, and then he can pay you the money to have all the sewing done nicely. But what's the point? That's bhakti? That makes you attached to Radha and Krishna by offering some cloth? No, not possible. Impossible. Then why have guru? Just get deities and go back to Godhead. Impossible. Where in Bhagavad Gita it says install a deity? Can you show me? It says mandamara bhavamana. Everywhere he's talking meditate, smaranam, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam, manmana bhavamana bhakti madhyaji mam namaskuru. It says worship me. What does that mean, worship me? Worship me in the mind. First it says manmana. You know this verse, it's twice in the Gita, the same thing, 18th chapter and 9th chapter. Manmana bhavaman bhakto, fix me in your mind and become my devotee of your mental deity. Manmana bhavaman bhakto. Madhyaji, now do puja, manasik puja. Yaji means puja. Manmana bhavaman bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskru. And after you do puja, then you do dandavat, the guru krampura acha. First we pray, then we do manasik puja to guru, then panchatattva, then guru parampara, then panchatattva, guru and sadhaka rupa and gaur, then guru and manjari rupa and parampara, my saki guru, para saki guru, like this. And then worship gaur and his lila. This is the puja and the obeisances afterwards. Mantrinam kriyahinam bhaktihinam janardana pujitam maya devam paripanam darastume. Like this. Pratigya Govinda and then may bhakti pranashiti. Iti samsriti panam samdarhamiham. These are aparad shamaka prartana. Shamaka means pacification, prayers for forgiveness of aparad in puja, even in manasik puja. So if you, I am your guru, I'm representing Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. I'm not representing some, you know, Hindu sentimentalism. This is not Hinduism. This is not, oh, my grandmother had deities, we have deities. Oh, but you change your clothes only once a month. Yeah, it's nice, you like. And I'm changing my consciousness every moment by my study, by my mantra chanting. Externally, oh, deity is so simple, yeah, but internally, so much bhav, so much beauty, so much purity, so much coming, the Dham is coming in my mind and heart. No one, there's guyam, self-realization, realization of God is a secret thing. It's not a show. My deity, so look at my deity show. It's like women go to parties and do their deity show, right? Wow, 50,000 rupees, sorry, poof. Your husband's really decking you out. Yeah. And look at these necklaces. That's real pearls, man. Gold bangles. Wow, your deity looks better than mine. It's like, this is not a transporting the material, mundane body conscious to the consciousness of dressing deities and making a show with a splash of colors and sensation. So I don't mean to be so hard, but you know, sentimentalism, sentiments means bhav. When bhav comes after a long struggle and lots of vairagya vidya and nijabhakti yoga, bhav descends from there. We don't cry from here, the tears come down up from up there and down. Not that we can make tears, any good actress or actors can cry. Total neophyte can sing a Hindi bhajan and cry. That means they're in bhav. Only a fool would fall for such a display of sentimentalism. People with soft hearts can easily cry. Women easily cry because they have soft hearts. So there's soft hearted men also. Radharani cries. Chandravali cries. Then Kirtida cries and Yashoda cries also for Krishna. Keep it, Prabhupada said there's three principles in deity worship. One is punctuality, which on time, every time. We used to keep a chart in all the temples. It was required by the GBC, Mangalarti, offering time. There's a chart. And what time was it offered? Like 1 minute late, and the president would keep a record. Months would go by, and three, four, five, 6 months, every offering on time, seven offerings a day, on time, on the minute. Boom. Ta-ta-ta-ta-tum. Ding, 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 ding. I know, I ran a temple for 4 years. Oh, no, I'm one more offering. Almost done. It's a 5:10. And then addressing the deities, it was like, and then there's a darshan, 7:15. Oh, a little longer. I just got to make this thing. Not like that. This is not the way. Punctuality, cleanliness, and simplicity. Simplicity means many things, but it means establishing a standard which you can peacefully and happily maintain. Like, for example, if you establish seven artis a day or evening artik and puja and all these things, then you want to go away for the weekend. Weekends, you should have, you make a sankalpa to the deities. We're worshipping you like this, but sometimes, you establish the contract. You join a firm. What's the contract? 2 weeks off a year, every June, you get 2 weeks off, and this much pay and this many hours. Oh, what about overtime? Yeah, and overtime you get paid. It's all clear. And then they say, you got to work on Sunday. You said you didn't tell me that. Nowadays it's contract system. So you make like contract, puja contract with the deities, the in charge. And so it's called real. Weekends, okay, we want to go party, we want to go here, there, we want to go on a vacation for the weekend. So they say, then you leave, you say, we'll leave you dry fruits here, so many dry fruits, and that's, there's no such thing putting Krishna to sleep. He sleeps when he wants to. I'm going to put you to sleep. Now you go to sleep. You're making noise, now you go to sleep. You sleep when you want to. And we want to make you sleep, but you're all too much noise sometimes. So this is Krishna's like that. See, you're marble deities, we can't take you, we like to take you, but you're here, and as soon as we come back, then we'll make nice offerings. And when you go away for a few days, or a week or whatever, just don't put us to sleep. You put some dry fruits there and big tumbler of water and say, you go on with your leelas and please forgive us. We have to go to Punjab for 1 week or whatever. Then you take one photograph of the deities and everyone takes one photograph, and whatever puja they individually do every day or whatever, you do that with the photo. Yes. Laminated, nice photo, or a little frame you keep. So you go somewhere, and then Radha has her photo. You have your, and grandmother says, "Oh, what are you doing, Radha?" "Oh no, this is our Thakurji, and he's there. But every day I would do this when I was there. So now I'm here. I'm doing this to the picture. This is bhakti. This is real. Thakurji is always doesn't go to sleep. We go to sleep. He's lila 24 hours a day, and then." So this is simple. It's called the simplicity principle. Punctuality, listen. And Prabhupada said, you set a standard which you can maintain and don't decrease it. If you can increase something a little bit and then keep that, as you can increase to that, like your income is 1,000 rupees a month. I think I can increase to 1,200 and every month. And then you stay there. Now you go down to 800. And you try to, you keep steady. So this is one meaning of simplicity. Not some elaborate thing and this and that. Come for our evening darshan, come for our morning darshan. Sleeping outfit, a Mangalarti outfit. You can really go like far. But let the children get married, and then you're retired and you're living in Vrindavan, and deities are... Again, that gives a purity in the house and fix the mind and helps the vanaprast and detachment, and then become the center, more and more the center of life. Now, and it's almost like deities are like there, And then as everything, you know, becomes more detached and renounced, and deities start coming closer, 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 then they're there. You know. They're always there, but it's just a matter of what the distance is. In between the deities and us is other responsibilities, other requirements, and this is the practical, intelligent way to go about it. I'm not trying to restrict your expression of your creativity or your artistic abilities. Everything in balance, the priority here, you have to understand, what does Gurudev want? This is a question of a sincere disciple. How can I please my guru? No deities? Okay, no deities. Deities and deities. It's like this. So the pleasure of guru, Krishna's pleasure is in the hand of the guru. Nowhere else. It's in the hand of the guru and Vaishnavas. Because he's already there. He's being pleased by Radharani. So he doesn't need but in this plane, he's represented by Sri Guru. Sri Krishna and Sri Radha are represented by Sri Guru. Sa Ra I. Sa Sri. Ra I. Ish and Ra. Sri. So it's Sri Guru represents Radha and Krishna. More study, more reading, because that without this strong sambandha gyan, understanding who I am, what is Krishna, what is the spiritual world, what is His holy name, what are Vaishnavas, Vaishnav tattva, Nam tattva, Prema tattva, Rasa tattva, all the Prakriti lila, and all these subjects, then our name has no substance, has no attraction, no interest, no concentration. All this backing is required for proper Naam Bhajan. And Naam Bhajan is the basis. And then it's supported, Naam Bhajan is supported and nourished by Guru Seva and Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva, Jiva Doya Naam Ruchi. Vaishnav Seva, Vaishnav Guru Vaishnav Seva. Being compassionate to others. Jiva Dhaya. Dhaya means mercy, compassion. Showing compassion to others, give them a mantra card. Hey, excuse me. Rosi Matra Japo or Rosi Matra Japo. Avko Radha Krishna praying, because I was in with one taxi driver from Radhika and I was duly corrected by Brijvasi. Sometimes I say that Brahmins are gurus for the Varnas, and Sannyasi is a guru of the Brahmin, and the Brijvasi is a guru of the Sannyasi, and Krishna is a guru of Brahma, and Krishna is a guru for the living entities, but Radha is a guru of Krishna. Radhikara Prema Guru Ami Shishya Nath. Krishna says, Radhikara Prema Guru, Ami Shishya, Nach. Radhika is my guru, says Bhagavan Sri Krishna. I am her Shishya, but I am not sitting down doing nothing. I am dancing. I am moving. I am jumping. Shishya Nath. Guru, the disciple, and guru sits down. Disciple jumps. He runs in seva here and there. Either and Uddhara, hither and thither, serving Guru. Now do this seva, now do that seva. Yes, Gurudev, Jai Gurudev. And in that seva is bliss, Satchitananda. Seva is bliss. If there's Sharanagati, then there's bliss. If there's no Sharanagati, you surrender to your wife and you serve your wife, you're blissful. Your wife is surrendered to the husband, she serves, she's happy by the seva, she's happy to clean the husband's house, she's happy to clean the husband's clothes, because she's surrendered and loves him. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. So if you're surrendered to Guru and you love Guru, then you find bliss in serving Guru. I know, from 37 years experience. Bhakti is secret thing, internal thing. And that point is that if you're doing all these things, people say, I don't know, your deities, you know, you change the clothes like once a month. But how can they look so beautiful? How can they, well, they're so smiling. Because they're absorbing all the bhakti. It's bhakti they're absorbing, not red dress, blue dress, green dress. There's so much bhakti flowing in their direction through the hand and heart of Guru. So bhakti is what's nourishing Krishna, not food, not clothing. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakti prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami vritatmana. Krishna is saying it is bhakti that's... This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 26. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanam. Whatever the devotee lovingly offers to me, whatever the devotee loving, Krishna, I read Bhagavatam, I lovingly offer this reading today. I came in front of the deities. You come in front of the deities and read the Bhagavatam, read the Krishna book out loud. Krishna likes too much. Like if you come before me, if I'm a king and you're a panegyrist, they call it, a reciter. And this king's father conquered so many kings, and this king himself, he's... And how much I'll be happy, because that's what they do. The poets and bards and Brahmins, they would come and they would read in the morning the glories of the king and the glories of his father and the glories of his brother. Yeah. And he says, yes, 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 we're very glorious. Krishna is the king of all kings, Deva Jagatpate. So he likes too much Shravanam Kirtanam. When the gopis are chanting Gopi Geet and Rasa Panchadhyaya, chapter 31, and the Vyog, and they're separated from Krishna. Krishna is just out, just like on the other side of the wall, you can say. The wall is the kunja. The gopis were gathered on the Yamuna Pulina, on the sands in the bank of Yamuna, crying their hearts out to the Chandra. Oh, Chandra Dev, where is our Krishna? Where is our Shyam? He's left us. Where is he gone? And there's so many kunjas and bushes and shrubs, every grove, and then Krishna's on the other side listening. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Shravanam Kirtanam, Krishna Smaranam. The gopis were hearing it, they're chanting, and Krishna's hearing. So when you come and you read, say, oh Krishna, I'm offering Bhakti Uparitam, this reading. I'm chanting this Astikam, I'm chanting my japa in front of you. You know, learning these verses in front of you. So the deity, that's what I'm saying, deity is the center of our spiritual activities. We used to sit in our room and read. Now we come and read in front of the temple, the deities. You just sit in the room, make a garland or whatever. It's a center. It's a haven. It's a refuge. All the whirlwind of activity in a house, there's one peaceful corner somewhere. That's why it's usually a separate room. The separate room has its own vastu, a door. You ever see the puja room? People often they make these apartments now, a little puja room. It's actually very good. Four walls and a door you close. It's very good. Be on the corner of a living room, which maybe you have. It's not so good. It should be private room. Here it's kind of like, you know, public, but it's private for me because I'm mostly here by myself. Doors are closed. That's the ideal. It should be a closed space. Sanctum's called Sanctum Sanctorium. Sanctum Sanctorium. That purified area. That's why even having like a room divider or something, you know. You know, like, I don't know, it's like kind of just, they're just there between, it's kind of like they're in a breezeway, isn't it? There's a dining hall, the dining hall opens up to the temple, opens up to the living room, opens up to the garden, opens up to the front door. It's like a breezeway. I call it breezeway, isn't it not? Don't be defensive. That's just where they ended up to give maximum darshan for others. Imagine if that was your bedroom. Just to try, you know, that's why I say, when we have full, that's why I know too keen on having people have deities until they have full personal consciousness. When we have personal consciousness, that we just have to, all we have to have the idea is that God is a person like me. We have personal consciousness, mamta, me. I know I like my own bedroom with a closed door. But God, He can be just standing in the hallway and everybody, it's okay. You want to stand in the hallway with your boyfriend? You know, all four doors open everywhere, you're going to like that. You want to be in a private place. So He's not just God, He's with His girlfriend. But the main thing is to understand Krishna's a person and do as make it as comfortable as you can within the arrangement of your particular lives at this time. Very busy lives, full-time working husband and a young family and full-time housework and family work for the wife and children busy with education and other working. So it's busy time. So that was the situation there. So extra puja, so some people decided change the outfits twice a month, that's, or once a month. Whatever, you have to sit comfortably and work out what's reasonable. Then weekend schedules and many things you do firstly, then you maintain that. That's the simplicity. You establish a standard which is realistic according to Kala, Desha, and Patra, time, place, and circumstance. And then you implement that and try your best to uphold that regulated schedule, what you've established, which is manageable and simple and practical. Main thing is cleanliness. Okay, change once a month, but that doesn't mean you don't go and dust the temple room every day. You know, the temple's clean and individual people offer a flower or someone wants to make a garland. You know, it's not like the voluntary aspect is there, but garland and no, I have to go to college, I have to see my friend, or my friend came from England, I have to go. Then, can you make my garland? Then this is not the way. You're in the mood to make a garland and you have some free time. Oh, mommy, I want to make a garland. I'm not going to school today. Okay, you buy some flowers. It's a free flow of devotion for a house deity. There's a minimal standard, and then you get inspired in a voluntary, individual way. Someone wants to offer a garland, or in the morning you offer some incense, in the evening some incense, or maybe one artik a day with everybody. Or everyone gets together, has an evening artik, and chants some sankirtan, read a little, and sit down for 5 minutes and read from the Bhagavatam all together. And then have dinner. It's simple. It's, you just come together with the deity. A little, something in the morning before going wherever we go. And something in the evening, either collectively or individually. This should be the kind of rule that, okay, every morning before you go, wherever you go, you take darshan and pay respects to Thakurji. And every evening, and Radha. And then Radha's running out. Oh, did you pay respects to Radha Shyam? Oh, I forgot. Okay, go in and like that. Because you're so busy, you got up late, you have to run to get to school. So then, like this. So then gradually your consciousness starts flowing towards the deity in a very individual and personal way. And then once in a while, you turn around, oh, so-and-so. That's why it's nice when there's a separate temple room, because you know, they don't know if someone in the temple room or someone's not there. Oh, I don't hear anything. She's not in the room. And then you see, go open the door. Oh, she's in the temple. Then you leave her alone. You know, it's that private, sanctified space where everyone can communicate with God. That's the temple room. When you're wealthy enough and fortunate enough to have a separate room and deities in your house, it's a great blessing. It becomes a vastu, a sacred area. But now it's all mixed up. Eating and kitchen and dining room and veranda and garden and living room and guests. And the vibration is all diluted and mixed up, so you can't concentrate the spiritual vibration in four walls. That's why temples are so sanctified. Or you go to a church, it's so sanctified, it feels that way. It's just this big room and all these people are always praying there, and the center of the altar is there, and the deities of Jesus or Mary or Joseph or the Holy Eucharist and the incense, and it's always there. No, nothing else goes on there. There's no television, there's no social functions, no greeting guests. That's that private God's house. So at least one room should be like that. You can do, that's also nice.